Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22, we'll read verses 47 through 51 together. Luke, chapter 22, verses 47 through 51. We'll read this passage responsively. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And let's finish on verse 51 together. Ready? And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do here. Lord, I wish every human being on earth could hear and practice what was preached from behind this pulpit this morning. All the war, all the turmoil, all the arguing and bickering and complaining and fighting would end. But I guess that's what heaven will be like. Father, thank you for our preacher. Now fill him with your power. Give us his wisdom as he has sought your wisdom so that we could live a little bit more like you please in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning I announced my sermon title. It is this, Don't Be a Pain in the Ear. Make sure you hear that right. Don't be a pain in the ear. We have read here this evening from Luke chapter 22 a story. I'm going to retell that story, then I want to talk to you about this important matter. Not long ago, I was preaching way out on the West Coast, and when the pastor introduced me to the crowd, he said something. It interested me very much. I got to thinking about it, and it's kind of what's prompted me to say to you what I'm going to say tonight. He said this when he introduced me to preach. He said, Brother Owens is an attitude adjuster. He is constantly working on the attitudes of people. And I got to thinking about it. A lot of my sermons are that very thing, constantly trying to help us keep our attitude right. And we need to work on keeping our attitudes right. In this story from Luke chapter number 22, Jesus and his disciples were in the garden praying right before the crucifixion. Judas ends up leading the enemy to where Jesus was. Judas then, while the enemy were not exactly sure who Jesus was, Judas goes over and he places a kiss of betrayal on the cheek of Christ. What was he doing? He was marking Jesus Christ so that the soldiers would know which one they were to arrest and take back for the false trial and the mock trial and the crucifixion and the beating and all. And then here's what happened. The disciples were standing around. Peter was there. And Judas places this kiss on the cheek of Christ. The soldiers and people come over to arrest Jesus. And about that time, old Peter pulls out his sword and he cuts off the servant of the high priest. Ear. Now, I don't know if you ever thought through that thing, but here they all are. They just got up off their knees praying, and the moment Peter gets up off his knees, he pulls out his sword, and he swats at this guy and cuts off his ear. Now, that's funny as long as it's not your ear. But I can picture this guy. He reaches up. He has no ear left. And the bad thing about it is Peter's probably a poor shot, because I'm going to guess Peter was probably trying to cut the guy's head off and only got an ear. So Peter wasn't an accomplished swordsman, I suppose. But he cuts off this guy's ear. And so here this fella, I don't know for sure. I didn't study it close enough. I don't know if this guy's ear fell on the ground, and he's standing there and looking around. It's dark. He probably couldn't find his ear. I'm not sure. There were a lot of lights. Maybe he's on the ground feeling around, hoping to get to the emergency room and have it sewed back on. I don't know. I know this. He could not hear as well at the moment, so everything that was going on, he was turning that other ear to hear what was going on, but he's holding this place on his face. Peter has cut off his ear, and Jesus says in verse 51, he turns to Peter and he says, Suffer ye thus far? Now what was Jesus doing? He said, Peter, Now put your sword away, and you develop a bad attitude so quick. Now put that sword away. He said, suffer me thus far. He was saying, Peter, now allow me to have a good attitude at this time. And he was telling Peter that Peter needed to have a good attitude as well. And Jesus reaches down and picks up that ear. I don't know. Maybe the guy already had picked up his ear. And Jesus said to him, can I have your ear? And the guy handed him the ear, and everybody was watching. And the Bible says that Jesus put that ear back on better than any plastic surgeon has ever put an ear back on. The guy, I don't think the guy lost his hearing. I don't think he had to wear pierced earrings from that point on. I think the lobe and everything else was all healed up. He put that ear on and fixed that fella up royal. But I think Jesus here was a little put out with Peter. Now, I think he loved Peter's loyalty, but he didn't necessarily love the way Peter had expressed it at the time. Very obviously, Jesus did not want this guy's ear off because he put it back on. And I think he if he could have said it the way I'm going to say it tonight, he would have said, Peter, you're just a pain in the ear. You know it? You're just a pain in the ear. Why in the world, Peter, would you do that? I think if Jesus would have wanted this guy's ear cut off, he could have done it. He was able to put it back on. I'm sure he could take one off. But Peter, he needed an attitude adjustment. Hey, don't you be a pain in the ear. Don't you be the kind of person that constantly has this attitude that flares up. That's not what we're supposed to be as Christians. Peter needed his attitude adjusted, for instance. Well, let me tell you this. Your attitude. What in the world is attitude? Well, you see that word and you hear that word. Let me give you a little definition that you could get from the Webster's Dictionary. The attitude, it's your manner. It's your disposition. It's your tendency. Here's my definition. I'm going to say your attitude is an outward expression of your inward feelings. Your attitude is an outward expression of inward feelings. You see, young person, when your mother says, wipe that attitude off your face, what they mean is, the bad heart on the inside is showing up on your face. You see, your attitude could be the way you carry yourself. That's your disposition. Your attitude doesn't even have to be expressed in words. You can see it on a face. Believe me, I'm a face reader. I'm a face reader. I spend my time looking into the faces of thousands of people. Last night at 35,000 feet, Brother Bush and I were flying back from Chicago into Dulles International Airport, and we had just done a little multiplying, and I turned to Brother Bush and said, I think I have preached to somewhere near 500,000 people in my lifetime. Now, listen, when you preach to that many people, you spend a lot of time looking at their faces. When you've looked as many faces as I have, in as many situations as I have, it's kind of like if you're a deer hunter, you can find a rub. When you're a deer hunter, you can find where a deer's been a scratching in those leaves. There are little signs where you can figure out the path that the deer has taken. And they are signs as to the direction that the deer is going. And our faces so many times reflect on the outside what is going on the inside of us. And I think our attitude is an outward expression of a variety of sorts of our inward feelings or what's going on the inside of us. And Peter needed an attitude adjustment. He had to get his attitude adjusted. This happened to Peter more than one time. Jesus and Peter one day were talking, and Peter said, wow, I'll be the last one to deny you. And it just happens to be that Peter was the first one to deny him. And Jesus was on the way to the cross, and Peter was following afar off. And I think the Holy Spirit had to adjust Peter's attitude, because Peter had grown into an arrogant, a cocky, or a prideful attitude. And on the outside, we were seeing a reflection of a weak spiritual attitude on the inside, if you will. At that time, when Peter Peter was following Jesus afar off. He cursed. He denied that he knew Jesus Christ. And he even lied about knowing him. Now, when I was growing up, my mom had an attitude adjuster at our house. I used to, we had a thing called the Mardi Gras. It was actually attached to our 4-H fair. And I almost hated to see it coming. Because my mom would go to the Mardi Gras and she would get these yardsticks. And the yardsticks back then were made a whole lot thicker than the yardsticks are made today. I remember it. Because when my mom would get those yardsticks, she kept one in the pantry just behind the door. And my mom could swap me from 3 feet with a yardstick. And I hated those yardsticks, especially the ones from Ace Hardware. Because the ones from Ace Hardware had a little hole drilled on the end so you could hook it on a nail. And that would break down the air resistance. When that thing was going through the air, I could hear it whistle until it hit me, and I went away whistling hot cross buns. I'm telling you, my mom, she had an attitude adjuster at our house. Listen, Christians ought to have good attitudes. I ought to have a good attitude, and you ought to have a good attitude. Maybe because my mom spent all my, what we'll call my informative years, using an attitude adjuster. She was constantly trying to help me to have the right attitude. Maybe that's why that pastor on the West Coast said, Brother Owens is an attitude adjuster. And I enjoy trying to help all of us to have the right attitude. Let's be what God needs us to be. Let's have the right spirit about what we do. I want to talk to you for a little while. This is going to be extremely practical. But I want to talk to you. Let's not be a pain in the ear. Let's not make it so every time we turn around, we're doing things that express on the outside some turmoil on the inside. Let's make sure we have the right attitudes. Let's make sure when people look at us, they're seeing a Christian attitude. Now, the word Christian means Christ-like. Let's look to develop within ourselves a Christian disposition or a Christian attitude. And if we can get that on the inside, it will be exposed on the outside when we're dealing with people. And again, very simply, let me help you. Let me give you some things that will help your attitude. For instance, let's all just decide that we're going to be real. Be real. This world is so phony today. So phony. Let's just be real. This world needs to see some true, blue, real Christians. Don't be a fake. Don't try to impress people with your quote-unquote religion, if you will. Don't try to look religious. Be religious. We almost try to look it. We almost want to convince people that we are something that we're not. Let me tell you something that hinders people's attitude of a real New Testament church. It's when people are fake. They're phony. And let me tell you where that comes from. It comes from having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It comes from walking in the church building and being one thing, leaving the church property and being something else. We're to be real. Christianity is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year, 52-week-a-year. It is not a 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour and a half on Sunday night, then go whack out in the world and live any way you want. Be real. Be real. Get the right attitude about your Christianity. You know, you don't need to tell us how much time you spent in your Bible and in prayer. We'll be able to tell. We'll tell. We'll tell by how your life's going. We'll tell by how much you show up for church. We'll tell by your attitude. Your attitude is going to reflect what's been put on the inside of you. Your life is going to tell us that. Listen, we need to be real. Don't change your spirituality or your spirituality every time you change crowds. Boy, there are people, they'll come to church, they act spiritual, They act like they just love it, and they walk in, they got their Bible tucked under their arm, then they go home, they're about half in and half out Christians. Come to church and put on like, oh, I just love God and He's everything to me, and prayer and Bible reading and good music and a good attitude. Amen. In church. Then we go home. We're about half and half. If it were sexuality, you'd be a bi. Then you go to work with all your heathen friends and you trash the whole thing. You don't live for God at all. Then in private, you're the devil incarnate. I mean, when nobody sees you at all, that's the real you. You know what we better do? We better get real. Let's just be real. I'm not good at a lot. There are so many areas of the ministry where you as a people have been cheated by having me as pastor. But I'll tell you one thing, I am real. What you see is what you get. I live at home what I preach from the pulpit. I would not be ashamed of anybody going to my home right now looking at any of my music, any of our entertainment, any of my wife's clothes. We live at home what is taught from this pulpit. I'm not into it. This isn't an occupation for me where I put up a front at church. I love God. I believe this book. We all need to be real. Be real. Secondly, we all need to be friendly. We need to be friendly. Have a friendly way about you. I was thinking of there's some people in our church that they have a friendly way about them. Mrs. Chris Cave has a friendly way about her. Every time I turn around, she's with somebody else, and she's got a friendly attitude. I was thinking of Mrs. Lawrence. Mrs. Lawrence has a very friendly attitude. Well, you can see that smile coming all the way up the hallway. I'm not saying she has a big mouth. I'm saying she has a big smile. But, hey, it is no wonder that that class of hers up there called the friendship class is growing in leaps and bounds. It is no wonder. I don't know what I'm going to do. If they get numerically much bigger, I'm going to have to figure out a new room for them to meet in, because she took that room. It was empty when she started, but she's got a friendly way about her. Somehow we get this idea that being an old-fashioned, rugged, independent, fundamental Baptist means that you have to hate everybody. That's not true. We're to be friendly. Hey, anybody can be friendly to friendly people. Say, oh, Brother Owens, I'm friendly to Mrs. Lawrence. Who's not? Osama bin Laden would be friendly to Mrs. Lawrence. Anybody can be friendly to the friendly. I'm talking about being friendly to the unfriendly. And we've got them. We have people that walk through these hallways sometimes and... Oh, my. Be friendly to the unfriendly. Be friendly to your enemies. Greet everybody in the hallway. School's coming. When I come in the mornings, coming into school, it's tough for me. Because I'll drive from when I turn off of Highway 11, the length of our driveway here. When I pull in, I wave at every single person. I can tell the ones that don't go to our church. I wave at Mrs. Kidwell. She waves back. Usually has a cigar in her hand, but she waves back. No, I'm just kidding. She gave up smoking cigars. She just chews now. I pull in, I wave and smile. They wave back. I can go to somebody else, and then somebody else will pull by. I'll wave, and they... Be friendly to everyone. Hey, let's be friendly to the new people in our church. Let's be friendly to them. Our church is a fast-growing church. Someone said, not I, but someone said to me, we probably have the fastest-growing independent fundamental Baptist church in America right now. I don't know if that's true. It doesn't really matter to me. I want to do all we can for the Lord. But I was talking the other day with my son Jeremiah, and as we were talking, he said, Dad, and he said something very wise. And then my son Jeff, and we all got into this conversation, he said, you know something? It's okay to have a mega church as long as you don't develop the mega church attitude. You say, what's the mega church attitude? Well, the church gets so big that people aren't friendly anymore. They're not kind anymore. They're not interested in one another anymore. Hey, if God chooses to grow our church, so be it. But let's make sure we don't lose the spirit. Let's make sure we don't use the friendliness and the right attitude. But we ought to be friendly. We need to learn to be friendly to the new people that join our church. Let me warn you, folks. Back when we first took off on this adventure 2 years and 2 months ago, a new family would join the church and you would flood to them. You'd flood to them and say, oh, we're glad you're here. Oh, it's exciting. Be careful now. When a new family joins now, you say, ah, that happens every week. So what? That new family that joined last week is as important as the week that you joined, and we need to keep a friendly attitude. I'm going to embarrass some people here in just a moment. You can't imagine that, can you? But listen to me. I think we need to stay friendly. You need to find out who are those new people. Get to them, shake their hand, and be kind and polite. Let's keep the right attitude in our church. For instance, the Hartmans. Brother Hartman, you and your family stand up. I think your daughter's over here somewhere. Stand up for me for a second. I want you to stand up. We're going to look at you. We're going to stare at you for a second. These are the Hartmans. They're brand new here in our church. These are good people. Brother Hartman and his son, I am telling you, they really worked hard. They put as much time in as anybody working on our new roof. They've only been in our church for a short time. You know what you ought to do? A new family like this, you ought to get to them. You ought to be kind to them. Give them some money. Do something for here. I'll do it. Let's see. Brother Bush, here, you take it. Give that to one of them. Give them some money. Be nice to them. You all go out and have a cold one on me. And I'm talking about an ice cream cone. But yeah, you folks can have a seat. Listen now. Let's not lose the attitude. Let's not lose the spirit. Let's be friendly. Mrs. McCauley, will you stand up for me? You and, if you will, you and your daughter. I want you to stand up for a second. The McCauley's just joined our church. Oh, it's been a month or so ago. But they're new in our church. And her daughter goes to our school. But you know something? This is a big church. You ladies, if you don't know her, you need to get to know her. You need to greet her and be kind to her and friendly to her. And now that I've started giving out money, I believe in justice. Go out and have some ice cream and be kind to them. Let's be friendly. That if you want to have the right attitude, you need to be real, and then you need to be friendly. Where are the Moraleses? Brother Morales, you and your entire troop stand up. No, wait a minute. Let me see if I got enough money here. And the Moraleses have 5 kids. I just want to make sure I don't get down to 5s, 10s, and 20s here. All the Moraleses, stand up. They just joined our church not long ago. You know what you need to do? You need to be friendly to them. Seek them out and be kind to them. And Brother Morales, how many of them do you have in here? 4? You got 4 and 1 over here, and then you have 7 altogether. Is that right? The whole family, 7. Any coming? Okay, we're just checking. All right, so let's see. Brother Bajent, I've got 4. I've got 5 in here, Brother Bajent. You give Brother Morales the 3. That's for the 2 that are not in here. You give that to Mrs. Morales, and that to the child on one side, that to the child on the other side. I got one guy over here, and you, okay. We're going to stop this illustration at this point. But I think you're catching on. You're catching on. Be friendly. Hey, it's okay when the church grows. God wants the church to grow. that God has no problem with the church growing. God does have a problem if you lose that friendliness, if you get what we call the mega church attitude. I don't believe there's such thing as disposable people. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't think that, well, it doesn't matter. There's lots of people out there. If we offend one unnecessarily, we can just chase them off and get more. I'm not for that. I am not for that. I want to keep everybody. I want everybody to stay right here. And I want us to learn to be friendly. Hey, speak to people in a friendly fashion. In Judges chapter 19, verse 3, listen to this verse. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her. Learn to speak friendly to the people in your family. If you are speaking friendly to the people in your family, I'll guarantee you, you're speaking friendly to the people on the outside. But just because you're friendly to the people in the church does not mean you're friendly at home. It's too bad, but the worst of us comes out at home. And I wish it was not that way, because the people we're supposed to love the most and the people we're to be the gentlest with and the kindest with are the ones that we live with. But let's be careful. Let's not become a pain in the ear. Let's not get a bad attitude like Peter did. Peter forced Jesus to heal a man and say, Peter, you've just gotten out of hand. Now get yourself under control. Let's be real. Let's be friendly. Hey, let me tell you something that will help your attitude. Be a smiler. A smiler. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance. What's it saying? Your face is either healthy spiritually or it's unhealthy spiritually. I look at some of you and you never smile. I thank God for one of you. I work double time trying to make you happy to get you to enjoy the service, and everybody else is rolling hilariously while I do it. I believe, Brother Davis, one of the things I do, I find the toughest student in the class and I try to reach them, and I know I'm reaching all my other students that way. We've got somebody in our church, they're miserable. It's written all over their face. They don't smile. I work, I work, I work, I work. I got to pull the best jokes to get them to smile. But you know something? It won't hurt you to smile. If you're happy, tell your face. But the problem is you're not. You're not happy. That's why you don't smile. Because your countenance is an outward expression of what's happening on the inside of you. If you're saved, tell your mouth. You need to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm saved, and I ought to be happy about it. I live in America. I ought to be happy about that. I feel sorry for people that never smile. First of all, you're wearing yourself out. You know, it takes more energy to frown than it does to smile. God naturally made it easy to smile. You are fighting God when you don't smile. He wants you to smile. Let me tell you how I know that. Look in the mirror. You'd crack up if you saw what we're looking at. God has a sense of humor. If you don't believe it, just look at Mike Majan. You know that smiling is contagious? It is contagious. Well, you get a smiler. Where's Ray MacArthur? Man, that guy has a $100,000 smile. He smiles like a possum eating honey. I mean, that guy's got some smile. I like that. Smiling's contagious. My son Joshua and his new wife Corey, they exchanged vows yesterday afternoon at 2:00. The ring bearer, his name is Sheldon. It's Corey's little brother. I'm going to guess Sheldon is about 4, cutest little thing. He was up on the platform. There were probably about 800 people at the wedding yesterday. And Sheldon was having a very difficult time standing still. At one point, he just threw himself on the ground and sat down. Now, Everybody else probably thought he ought to be more reverent. I was having a heyday. I was thinking, come on, Sheldon. I'm going to break this baby loose. And then when his sister came up, she came up and the pastor said, who giveth the bride away? And his her father said, her mother and I. And when she came up and walked past Sheldon, you should have seen old Sheldon. He gave his sister the cheesiest grin you've ever seen in your life. He went to his sister. He went, and she got to laughing. Now, Mrs. Owens, she's sitting right on the front row, and she's boo-hooing her eyes out. About every 2 minutes, she says, how's my makeup? How's my makeup? How's my makeup? I said, well, let me see that napkin. I'll tell you how the makeup's doing. She's bawling her eyes out, you know, all the way through this thing. I'm happy. I got rid of another kid. Mrs. Owens, she's crying her eyes out, and old Sheldon, he gives that great big old cheesy grin, and right in the middle of all the boo-hoo, and my wife started laughing. Well, you know, I'm an emotional roller coaster anyway, but she started laughing, and I was so pleased, and I looked at the crowd, and that little break was really good for him, because Sheldon's smile was contagious. Hey, you want to spread a good disease around? Spread the disease of smile. It's contagious. Tell people to smile. I love people that laugh. I really do. I love to hear Brother Nash laugh. If that's what you call it. Really, it's a cackle. Brother Nash was invited to a zoo to teach the hyenas how to do it. Listen to a hyena someday. You'll say, that's Greg Nash. Hey, I got to tell on somebody. You ought to hear Mrs. Costa. She's one of the happiest ladies you ever met in your life. I could be working in my office with the door closed, and all of a sudden you can hear her over there a laughing and a carrying on, and one of the hardest workers you've ever met. But she's happy. It's almost like some people come to church and they develop an attitude when they come in, and it's, make me laugh. I dare you make me laugh. You know what some of you have a hard time with? You don't want to like me, but you're really having a tough time, aren't you? You would love to despise what I stand for, but I make it tough on you, don't I? You know, I can kick your backside and make us all laugh while I'm doing it, and you just don't know what to do about that. Hey, listen, it's contagious. Let's have the right attitude. Let's have the right attitude. Let's have that attitude that expresses on the outside what's going on the inside. Let's be real. Let's be friendly. Let's be a smiler. Let's be interested in other people. Stop and listen to others. Make what is important to others important to you. That's what friends do. I'll tell you what you need. This will help you. Jeremiah Nash. He loves to talk, don't you, Jeremiah? And he comes by my office often to tell me some of the most important things you've ever heard. How old is Jeremiah? He's 5. And man, can that boy talk. And I don't remember which, but there used to be a little cartoon on of this little mouse. And the little mouse just went on and on. That's Jeremiah for you. And you know what I do? I always take the time. I get down on his level, and I say, go ahead, buddy. Tell me what's on your mind. I have to say this. There are some times I'm not able to hear about everything that's on his mind because he has an awful lot of mind and a lot packed into it. But he tells me everything that goes on at the Nash's house. And we're looking for a new song director as soon as I can find one that laughs like a hyena. Mrs. Nash, you're going to get a kick out of this. The Nashes are babysitting the world famous Pupcake. That's our dog. Now, you say, what about the cat? Our cat's name is Iris. Well, we got an email from our subdivision that they've seen a couple, two black bears in my subdivision, and they said, keep little children and your pets in. We took Pupcake to the Nashes, and I've locked the cat out of the house for the week. You're mistaking me. Our cat is tough. I'm figuring the cat's going to take that bear out. So you all are vicious people. But we took Cupcake by because Samuel is dog setting for us. And Mrs. Owens was giving all the instructions about Cupcake. More than Ash kids, I forget which, and I'm forgetting kids on purpose for your sake, okay? You understand, Brother Owens is protecting you now. One of the Nash kids came over, and I was sitting in my truck, and they came over, and the Nashes have a little private, one of those little wading swimming pools for the kids, and one of the boys came over and said, "The sooner you leave, the sooner we swim." I said, "Well, I'm trying to get out of here. It's Mrs. Owens you need to talk to. I'm ready to go right now." I was just visiting back at the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. And while I was there, one of the janitors came and began to talk to me. And I was standing there, and I think I stood there for 15 minutes while that janitor told me about his truck. Now, he needed for me to hear that. That was important to him. And just so you know, you can go to almost any church in America, and I'm probably considered a good friend of every janitor. Because janitors are important too. And all I did was take the time to listen, because listening is an important part of your attitude. Let's be careful that we don't become a pain in the ear like Peter did. Be real, be friendly, be a smiler, be interested in others, and be enthusiastic. Psalm 51:10, David says this after his fall, and he's trying to regain some spiritual strength. He says to God, "And renew a right spirit within me." David knew, because he had done wrong, that his spirit or his attitude had been quenched. And he said, "God, renew my attitude. Fix my spirit." Listen, don't be a fire extinguisher to people. People get on fire for God, or they get excited about something for God. Whatever you do, don't douse their flame. Be enthusiastic about people that want to do right. It's a wonderful thing when people get excited about the things of God. It's great to be here. It is. It's great to be here. I'm glad that I'm here tonight. I wanted to be here. As you know, my family's on vacation. I flew back in last night. I'll get up early tomorrow morning. I'll fly back to where my family is. I didn't want to be in any other church. I don't want to ever miss a Sunday service of this church, ever. God help me. That's my goal. I want to be here. And to me, it's great to be here. We had an out-of-town visitor not long ago walk up to me, and this is what he said. He was here to come to our church, and he said, "I've heard so much about the church. I just couldn't wait to get here." He said, "It's a dream come true. I'm here. In just a minute, I'm going to go to the service. I'm so excited." And he said, "It's just great to be here." What a good attitude. Do you know that we could have that attitude every service if we wanted to? If we wanted to. You gotta get a little, that's Tony Tiger. "It's great to be here." And it is. And you need some of that attitude. This is what I need. I need a little of that Tony Tiger attitude when we meet for Thursday night soul winning. We need people up there that say, "It's great to be here." And we need it in our bus meeting. And we need it during choir practice. We don't need people dragging in and 15 and 20 minutes late to everything. We need people that say, "It's great to be here." Nursery workers, I beg of you, make sure that when you're in the nursery that you have the right attitude about it. That you have the right attitude. Listen, we will not have revival in here unless you have a good spirit in there. But we need to have that enthusiastic attitude as we work on our buses, as we go to our soul winning meeting on Thursday night and on Saturday. Hey, let's just keep that attitude and make it enthusiastic about how it's great to serve God. Oh, and then please, don't be a grumbler. Don't be a grumbler. There's a song, "Grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too, grumble on Friday, grumble on Saturday, grumble the whole week through." Are you that kind of person? Somebody said to your wife, "Did you wake up grumpy this morning?" And she said, "No, I always let him sleep." I hate to do this. I'll interject a little Hollywood for you. You understand that best. You're best educated there. You ever seen the Addams Family? They've got this, I think he's their butler named Lurch. Everything that's said to Lurch, he goes, "Oh." You're our church Lurch, aren't you? You're the church Lurch. Everything that goes on, don't be a grumbler. The Bible word for grumbling is a groaner. In Psalm 38, verse number 9, the psalmist said, "Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thy face." I looked it up. The word groaning is in the Bible over and over again about people that just groan. You know, you don't even have to use negative words. You can just make negative sounds. Your sigh, the rolling of your eyes, your body language is negative. The church Lurch. We're going to get you a sign. You can wear it like a necklace. You make negative, strange noises. You know what that is? It's part of your attitude. You young people, when you roll your eyes and you do your grunting and throwing yourself around and your parents say, "Straighten up that attitude," you say, "I didn't say anything." Yes, you did. Your face was speaking. Your body language was speaking. Let's have the right attitude. Oh, don't have an attitude of worry. Worry is the opposite of faith. I say this all the time. I thank God for the growth of one of our ladies here. I'm talking spiritual growth of one of the ladies here in our church. We had this water problem here a week or so ago. As you know, thousands of gallons of water all over the inside of our building. And now, we had a problem this last winter when that flat roof kind of, it just burst on us. And we had all sorts of water coming in here back then. And one of our ladies, I won't tell you who, but I mean she panicked. We had water going everywhere. She was running everywhere. She was panicked. She was so out of sorts about that thing. And then we come about 4, 5, 6 months later. The other day, all the water bust loose. There was water everywhere. I heard her off in the distance saying to someone, "Oh, don't worry about it. Happens around here all the time." That's growth. She changed from being a worrywart to just realizing if it happens, it happens. Hey, worrying will ruin your attitude. It'll ruin your attitude. This is something you need to learn to do. Do your best and hang the rest. All I can do is the best I can do. Then I'm going to go eat ice cream and go to bed. That's all I can do. Now I'm going to give it my best. And I'll do all I can. But there's not too much we could do. Listen, when water was pouring in this building at the rate that it was, and it was still raining, there was not a thing we could do. I'll promise you, I didn't walk around here angry. I didn't walk around here throwing things, doubting God, not at all. We just did our best. We hung the rest. And I agree. It happens around here all the time. I think it's happened for the last time. Watch your attitude. Don't be a worry wart. I wish for every time you worried, you got a wart. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't it be something if we could see on the outside what's going on the inside? Ask medical doctors. They'll tell you there are signs that come on the outside of the body of what you allow to go on the inside of the body and your emotions. Let me give you something else that'll help you with the attitude. Be consistent with your attitude. Don't be moody. Now, we're all moody to a degree, but some, it's just amazing. People ask themselves, they look at you from the distance and say, "I wonder what mood she's in today. Should I hide and let her pass by, or should I dare greet her?" Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. at home. 1 minute you're lovey-dovey. Next minute you're wanting to choke them. Have a predictable attitude. And I'm not talking about predictable by always being raunchy.
For the ones I'm even. I'm always a jerk.
Get some sort of a consistency about your attitude. I hope, I don't know, and this might not always be the case because I'm a sinner and I need fixing up just like all of us do. I really don't think when Brother Cogley and Brother Bush were working on the rain in here, I don't think either one of them worried about me screaming and yelling at them, throwing a fit and losing my temper. I don't think they worried about that. I think they probably said he'll handle it the right way. Now the next time, I plan to be human. Hey, get the right attitude. Be optimistic. Look for positives. Look on the bright side. See your cup being, you know, this water up here, it's either half full or half empty. To me, it's half full. Get the right attitude about things. Can you imagine the bad attitude that some could have had over the water that we did have in our auditorium? 2,000 gallons of water. Thousands of dollars worth of carpet ruined. I got a good attitude, you got to admit. I mean, electrical, and I'm talking about light fixtures, we had just spent 2 days working night and day to clean things up and to make things nice, and everything was a mess. I loved it. Mrs. Owen said this. She said, honey, I can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do for us because of what we've gone through. And that's the right attitude. That's the right attitude. Be optimistic. Be grateful. Be grateful to God and to others. Let them see that attitude. Be grateful for the little things. Develop a gratitude attitude. But get the right attitude. Hey, learn to be complimentary of people. All of these things make you have a good attitude. Be complimentary. Look at the positives in people and compliment their efforts. Mrs. Marlene Evans, who is now with the Lord, she used to say, if somebody is fishing for a compliment, give it. What does it hurt you? If a lady says, I went shopping this week. You know what she wants. Say it.
Where? Goodwill?
No. Oh. When you can tell when a lady would like a compliment. What's wrong, ladies, with just meeting their need? If you know a lady would like a compliment on the clothing that she has chosen, well, do it. Well, I don't like that attitude. You're the one with a bad attitude. Why not do it? Why not do good to people when it's obvious they would like it? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, fellas, you know, when a guy says, well, I went hunting the other day. Now, most of us won't tell you we went hunting when we didn't get anything. You know, I don't say, well, I was out for 10 days in a row, 15 hours a day, didn't get anything. No, I say, went hunting the other day. And you're supposed to say, shoot anything? And I'll say, well, a little something. You're supposed to say, well, what'd you shoot? And I'll say, well, really, it ain't nothing. You're supposed to say, is it in the back of the truck? And I'll say, yeah, but don't worry about it. You're supposed to say, let's go look at it. And I'll say, come on. What's wrong with being complimentary? Hey, wonder if every one of us developed the attitude that we're going to constantly search for a way to compliment people for the right and the good things that they do. Brother Bush, stand up here. That's a nice tie. Is it made of your white shower curtain? No, you can have a seat. There's a way to compliment people.
What a sissy tie you have on.
Listen, let's get a good attitude. Peter and Jesus, the other disciples, they had been praying. Judas betrays Jesus, places a kiss of betrayal on his cheek. The soldiers, the high priest, officers are there. Peter pulls out that sword, whacks off this guy's ear, and Jesus says, "Peter, knock it off. Now give me that ear. I'm going to put it back on." And Jesus was basically saying, "Peter, you so quickly can develop the wrong attitude." All of us can, huh? So what are we going to do? Let's watch our attitude. Let's learn to be real. Let's not be phony. Let's be friendly. Let's smile a lot. Let's be interested in others. Let's be enthusiastic about the things of God. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be a worrywart. Be consistent with your attitude. Be optimistic and grateful. Learn to compliment people. And I think that'll help your attitude. Everybody around you will enjoy life more, but so will you, because it's a wonderful way to live. Don't be a pain in the ear. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.